Attention, attention, in the heartbeats of the underground, where dreams define gravity and resilience, know no bounds. It's time to rise up like never before. Stand up, gods and goddess of creativity, champions of the unseen, for this is your battleground of resilience. Let your passion be the sparks that unite the revolution of artistry and innovation. Together, we sculpt a new narrative where resilience meets purpose, and the underdog becomes the hero. So heed the call, amplify your voice, and let's set the world ablaze with the fire of untamed talent. And remember to stay Origin. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is your man, Oro Mustang. You're tuning into Origins, the pre-show. Today, I want to give a special shout out to Cheeky Fetus. Shout out to the young brother, or older brother. Shout out to him doing his thing. He's a streamer, a gamer. Anybody that want to go support, show love, or into Destiny, PvP games, shooters, this is a guy you can tune into. Looking at his gameplay, you can see the passion and love that he had for Destiny. And, you know, right now he's in the midst of on the journey to figure out if he want to, you know, get back into it full time. However, you know, if anybody that like that content or that type of content, go ahead, tune in, show love. You can follow him on Twitch, TikTok, and YouTube. Those his main page under the same name. Show love, show support. Any other gamers that's out there wanting to stream, especially like, you know, Destiny or like other shooting games, hit them up if you want to collaborate. But shout out to him. Keep doing your thing, and I'm looking forward to you being at the top. For ladies and gentlemen, you can subscribe to the podcast, $10 a month. Greatly appreciate it. Dropping podcasts often, more active than ever. Right now, we on our 77th episode. Lucky 77. Been constantly on the grind. So shout out to Origin. We on 23 episodes away from hitting 100. Most likely we will hit that before this month is even over with. So keep supporting the podcast, keep showing love. You already know that we're doing our thing. We keep promoting people, we keep putting people on. So expect more artists, expect more talent to be shown. And again, Origin is a place for all. If you got talent, I don't give a fuck what it is. But if you believe in it, guess what? We believe in it as well. And we'd be willing to support you and give you a platform to use it. Origin is more than just us. It's a collective. It's the underground. It's the beacon of hope. Trust and believe. Everybody that's getting introduced, it's not just for me. It's an opportunity for everybody to connect and collaborate. If you see talent or if you see somebody on here that you fuck with and you see that, you know, they got something that, you know, is useful, why not use the opportunity? I'm literally bringing the connection to you, for you. Yeah, right here, Origin. So go subscribe, go follow. Definitely appreciate it. Shout out to everybody that, you know, put on. Shout out to everybody that I've done the podcast with. Your episode is not out yet, but trust and believe it's coming. Shout out to Cheeky Fetus. Again, this is his moment, so show him love. Again, subscribe to the podcast or go show love and support on our GoFundMe. Like I said, we have a vision for Origin for the next step. That's gonna take some money. However, you know, I got a vision, and if you already fucking with what I'm doing right now, trust and believe, what I got planned for this is definitely the evolution for this. So if you want to support that vision, go ahead, click the link in the bio on my TikTok, Instagram. You would be to see my link tree, and the GoFundMe is right there. Shout out to that. Shout out to you know, everybody that has been staying, supporting, checking out each episode. I much appreciate it and love you for that. What else I got? Oh, for talent, again, I'm looking for animators, looking for anybody that want to co-host with me. And I'm also looking for anybody that wants to, well, specialize in the marketing and promotion field. I already bring the content, so to have someone just to focus on that part while I constantly make content would be gratefully help. And any other talent could be appreciated. If you believe you got something that can propel Origin forward for the next evolution, hit me up. I'm all ears. I'm always looking to collaborate. I'm always looking to grow. So if you see potential in it, hit me up. If you see you can add, you know, anything to the cause, hit me up. I got a very travel mindset, and I'm willing to take anybody that can be useful to me to the next level. Anyway, shout out to everybody. Shout out to Cheeky Fierce. Cheeky Fierce. Shout out to him. Show him love. Show him support. And I believe I talk enough. So anyway, tune into the EP, Cheeky Fierce. This is your moment. Own it. Sean.
Light up your... Hello.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Nah, pretty good, dude. How about you?
Good, good. I'm going to do the introduction, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. You ready?
Yeah, man.
All right. Hello, lads and gents. This is your man over Mustang, and you're tuning into Origins, your friendly local hub, Anonymous Geek Squad podcast. For the latest underground news, gaming, and all things geek, today we got an electrifying interview that will light up your circuit. So buckle up, because we're diving deep into the world of guest expertise. Get ready to be amazed and enlightened, and above all else, entertain. Go ahead, take the floor.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Cheeky Fetus, otherwise known as GL Menace. Destiny 2 is my main game. I like to troll people with GLs and other unconventional weapons.
Shout out to you. And Cheeky Fetus, please enlighten us how the fuck you came up with that.
Actually, man, I was playing some mobile games. I forget which game it was. It was a FPS game on mobile, and it just assigned me that name. And I needed an update for my gamer tag anyway, so I just went with it.
Okay. And I have seen you promote yourself on TikTok. You promote yourself on any other platform?
I have YouTube, but I don't really upload to it a whole lot. I mostly just upload the same videos from TikTok that I do on there.
Okay. And like you said, you mostly play Destiny?
Yeah, Destiny 2. Mostly first-person shooters, really. But yeah, Destiny's my main game.
Okay. And you game for fun, or you're a streamer, full-time streamer, or...
Mostly for fun. I've been thinking about getting back into streaming. I used to stream Sea of Thieves and a few other games like that a couple years back.
Okay. And you said you mostly play first player shooting games. Destiny.
Yeah. On the list. Call of Duty. I haven't played Call of Duty in a while. It's kind of got stale for me. You know, they drop a new game every year. It's basically the same game with slightly different weapons, maybe different perk systems set up. But used to be really big into zombies, Call of Duty zombies with the Black Ops 3 and Black Ops 2. I like other games like... Zombie Army 4, you know, third person, basically shooting games, man. If I can shoot something in the face and have a good time, I'm all about it.
Okay. You ever fought with, what was it, Killing Floor?
Oh, Killing Floor 2, yeah, I actually have that game. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. And it seemed like you've been gaming for a minute. How old are you, don't mind me asking?
I just turned 38, man, so I'm an old head.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
So you've been around a good era of gaming. So, in your opinion, do you think gaming... how can I put this? Do you think gaming involve in a good light, or... You think we in a decline when it comes into like creativity and all that when it comes to gaming that's coming out?
I mean, it's definitely not like Hollywood is, where they just keep recycling, you know, reboots and this and that. But I think it's in a good place as far as, you know, what's being released. Some people would disagree. There's a lot of controversy around within the Destiny community. People, you know, like this, hate that. Somebody's always complaining about something that's not living up to their expectations or their standards. I mean, I can understand some of it because, you know, Bungie, they're a little bit greedy whenever it comes to their DLC content. And it was a few years back, they sunset a lot of the content that they released whenever the game first dropped. And then they made it free to play, which kind of like a big fuck you to everybody that paid for the game at launch and all the DLC and everything. They just, you know, cut from the game. I mean, at the same time, though, like, I think it's good that they made it free to play because it's more accessible. It boosts the community, all that. But it's not a good look whenever, you know, you're charging people full price for a AAA title and, you know, basically saying, oh, well, screw you guys. We're going to make it free. And, you know, everything that you paid for, we're just going to take it away. And there ain't nothing you can do about it.
And speaking of DLCs, how do you feel about Battle Pass in a full price game?
I mean, it's good and it's bad. You get certain perks and stuff that are, you know, better than what you would get on, you know, the free to play version or whatever. Like Destiny has specific armor drops or armor sets or weapons that you can only get or you can get early by playing the battle or paying for the battle pass. But if you don't pay for it, I mean, you kind of just screwed. Well, I mean, it's really not that expensive either, though. It's only $10 for a season pass. And that, like every 3 months.
So, and you're, correct me if I'm wrong, so you seem like the Battle Pass is cool as long as they add, you know, items that's worth it?
Yeah, as long as it's not, like, outrageous. I mean, $10 isn't that bad. You know, some games are, like, $20 or, you know, even higher for...
So, when Destiny came out, how much was the base game?
It's like 65 back then. So, you know, typical price.
Okay. So if they was charging today's price, like, you know, base game $70, deluxe about $90, and then the premium about $110. If you pay for those prices and they got a battle pass, will you look at it different?
I mean, not so much. They still got to make money. You know, once you buy the game, that's pretty much it. You know, you're not, they're not going to get any more out of you. There's nothing to support, you know, their staff and, you know, for them to make new content, better content. I mean, I understand, you know, why it's a thing and how it's beneficial towards the company. And it's actually beneficial towards, you know, the consumer because, you know, they're enabling people to create more stuff. I mean, Destiny's been around going on 10 years now, so they're doing something right.
10 years. You said they've been in the game for 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think Destiny 2's been out for almost 10 years now.
Okay. And for someone, you've been playing for 10 years straight, or you've been on and off?
I took a break for a couple of years. I just recently got back into it last year.
Okay. So would you be excited for Destiny 3 or expansion DLC?
As far as a three, I don't think they're gonna do anything like that for a while because they got their new game Marathon coming out, and they're still, putting out content for Destiny. There's a new DLC coming out. I think in supposed to be June. I might be wrong though, because this last season they're typically 3 months, but this time around, they pushed out the DLC, so they made this season 6 months long, and they're changing their model as far as like seasons to like stories, like chapters. So I'm not sure how that's gonna work going forward, but I mean, I'm open to it.
You looking forward to it, or are you just waiting to see what it
Oh yeah,
looks
I'm
like?
definitely looking forward to it because it's
Okay.
supposed to be like, like the big finale for like the whole saga that's been going on this whole time. They're bringing back a character that they previously killed off, a fan favorite, Cade Six.
Okay. Man, is that your fan favorite, or? You hear me? Oh, if your screen go black for some reason, go mute.
Oh, okay.
So what you were saying?
I said I'm bringing back a fan favorite character, Cade Six. He's
Yeah, I
voiced
heard
by
that
Nathan
part.
Fillion. Yeah,
I was
he's
asking, was that
one of my favorite actors.
he's your favorite actor, and that character, is that your favorite as well?
Oh yeah, he definitely brings a lot of life to him. Makes him really entertaining, his delivery on his dialogue, and he's just the right guy for that kind of role.
Okay. So when it comes to video games, what was the first video game you ever played, and how did it shape your gaming journey?
Ooh, first game. My first I think the first game I ever really played was Donkey Kong. It was on a friend's, a family friend. My parents took me over to one of their friends' houses. They had a console there and they set me up in a room, like you do with kids or whatever, here you go play this and we'll be in the other room, kind of deal.
Okay.
But yeah, it was Donkey Kong. And then after that, I got my own NES. And I think I had like Mario and the TMNT game. I used to rent a lot of games back in the day. That's when video stores were still a thing. We had a little rental place down the road from the house. And I'd go there on the weekends, pick up games. So it was pretty much limitless.
Yeah, the last time I remember going to one was the one that I rented out was Sonic Riders, I believe. I think it was the
Oh,
first time I
Sonic
did that.
Riders.
Yeah.
Not sure if I ever played Sonic Riders. I know what it is. Yeah, I've definitely seen stuff about it. I used to, buy the magazines and stuff like that, Nintendo Power, Game Informer.
Oh shit.
I
So
usually kept up to date.
you also experienced when they used to give out like the cheat codes and shit.
Oh yeah, Game
So
Shark and Game Genie was that's what it was back in the day.
which are the game books that you pay attention to like the cheat codes and everything intimate that into the game?
I mean, see, back then it was mostly like Nintendo Power. That's what I played mainly. Until I got the Sega, and I think we just got cheats and all from like word of mouth, like people at school and everything. They would write them down on a piece of paper for you or tell you, this is how you do this fatality on Mortal Kombat, and here's the button combo for it, or like the Konami code, AB, up, down, AB, left, right, AB, start. That was for Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. It was like Extra or Infinity Lives.
And speaking of older games, which extra feature that you used to enjoy? Like, for example, like some of the games you could put into like a CD and would play music.
What you mean?
Like extra feature that came with a game. Like, for example, some games, CDs, you could put it into the CD player and would play music.
Okay. I never really do a whole lot of that. It was I know what you're talking about. I had experiences with it, but
here's another example, like Dragon Ball Z. You ever play it? Take Aichi?
Yeah.
You know, like if you had the disc like from like if you had Dragon Ball Z Take Aichi 3, if you had the disc from 2 and 1, you can combine the discs and get like extra characters and shit.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about that.
What's another extra feature? Can't think of another one right now, but I know like on Xbox 360, the extra feature was like you could download like music onto your Xbox.
Yeah, I definitely did that. For 360, you know, yeah. I used to have playlists on there and I'd play those in the background while I was playing Halo and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I know what you mean now.
Okay.
And on the original Xbox, you could do that too.
Could you change the soundtracks to the game so it was only add the music?
I don't think. I think there was a feature for that on a few games, but for the most part, you just play it. You know. Standalone, and it would play over like your game sound. Your game sound would be mixed in with the the music I was playing.
Okay. I know for the like 360, damn near all the games you play, you can change the soundtracks with the music that you already have in your Xbox.
I used to I mainly kept my hard drive space clear for like games and stuff, and I used to play so many different ones that I had limited hard drive space. That was an issue for me up until like recently, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to play so many different games to keep up with all the different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are, online, like digital downloads now. You know, physical copies are starting to be a thing of the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you buy a physical copy, you still have to download, you know, the game from the store, which really doesn't mm-hmm. make a whole lot of sense.
The part that doesn't make sense to me is, all right, if I got to download after I buy the disc, it's cool. But if you tell me I still can't play the game without the disc, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
Okay. So next question I got for you. What trailer for a game that came out, and you was at first, you thought, I think that game going to be ass, to you had your personal experience?
I'm trying to think. I say Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I was like, I thought it was going to be complete ass at first, and I started watching like gameplay footage for it and, getting more into it, checking out some of the features and all, which a lot of people have a problem with it. I actually like it. You know, I like Vikings and all, so. It really spoke to me in that aspect, you know, the historical, historical aspect of it, the accuracy, and you know, all the thought and everything that was put into it.
Okay. And Next question. What's your all-time favorite video game and why?
I'm gonna go with probably Halo 3. That's where I really got my start. Yeah.
Is that the one with the flood?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where I really got my start and love for first person shooters at. I mean, they existed before them with, like, you know, Unreal Tournament and Doom and Quake, PC, stuff like that. But Halo, it was something new, something like revolutionary at the time. There wasn't really anybody else doing anything like that. You know, online matchmaking, and, you know, skill based. You know, massive maps, vehicles, and, you know,
I mean, sniper lanes. This is the first era when everybody's kind of tuned into some type of form of, like, gaming entertainment. So, it is a new era.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it comes to, like, online. During our time, a lot of us experienced playing offline more so often. But now, it's more common for people to be online some type of form. Even your single player game most likely require you to be online.
Yeah, that annoys me, you know, a lot of things. You got to be online just to play by yourself for a game that you own, and it's all because they're trying to check the make sure that you, you know, own it, your digital rights, the DMR, I think it's called, digital media rights. It's just another way to try to prevent piracy, but it's not working. They're not preventing anything. You can still rip a game and play it all you want to. I really don't like the online all the time thing. I really wish they'd never done that.
Do you think there's a way to improve it, or they need to scrap the whole idea?
Honestly, I feel like they need to scrap the whole idea because, you know, if your internet goes out or, you know, any reason you don't have access, you're pretty much screwed. You know, your console, PC, whatever is, you know, useless because you can't even, you know, play a single player campaign by yourself.
Yeah, as soon as when your Wi-Fi go off, your console, like, I do not recognize you as the owner of this game.
Right? Even if you have, like, the physical disc that you paid for, you can't do shit.
I mean, either way, I find it crazy because if you buy online, at the end of the day, there should be a data record if I'm online or offline that I own this game. And then when it comes to the disc, that's even more of a spit in my face. Like,
no, definitely. Like, even games that don't even have, like, an online multiplayer type thing, you still have to be online for. I think the only game that I own that I don't have to be online for was Shadow of Mordor.
Is that the Lord of the Rings?
Yes. Lord of the Rings, one of the two games in that series. The nemesis system that they invented where, you know, an orc captain kills you. They grow in rank and strength and, you know, they get more followers and all. It's really cool, fun gameplay.
And on the next question, can you share a memorable moment, gaming moment, that made you feel truly immersed in the virtual world?
As far as immersion goes, I mean, anytime that I'm really into a story for a game and in my own world, in my own, you know, element, and just vibing with it, that's pretty much a moment anytime as far as immersion goes. As far as, like, moments that are memorable for me, just like, anytime I've been playing with friends on the squad, and we've just been dominating and straight killing it. You know, back in the day, I used to have a clan, run a few clans, and I had a lot of memorable moments from that.
Okay. And, all right, give me three stories from a gaming franchise that you truly enjoyed. You think that would be a good story on a big screen?
Oh man, that's real hard because, you know, Hollywood is gonna fuck it up anyway.
And let's say Hollywood wouldn't get their hands on
it. They like to take things and I don't know, they stray so far from source material it's unrecognizable. It's only like in name.
Let's say the person behind that's developing this movie truly love the project and is gonna do everything they can to make sure that, you know, done right.
I'd definitely say Halo, because they're doing a good job of the show.
Okay. All right.
So a lot of people have problems with it, but I mean, it's its own thing. They're telling a loose.
Oh, yeah. I think the screen cut off.
Hang on, there you go. it's loosely based on the game franchise. I mean, they take a lot of elements from it, and they're doing their own thing with it. They're new characters, you know. They got McKee and, you know, things like that, which I find interesting. I'm not like a purist when it comes to that. You know, I'm fine with people telling their own stories, and as long as it's faithful to, you know, the source material, you can go off tangent a little bit.
Okay. I'm glad you said stay faithful, because I do have a couple questions. Now, to be fair, I haven't watched it yet, but this, depending on your answer, might intrigue me enough. Will you at least say that the story is better than Halo 5?
Which one was 5? Was it Guardians?
I know 5 was kind of like Civil War between Master Chief crew and new characters. Wait, was that Halo 5? Yeah, that was Halo 5.
Yeah, I think it's it was Guardians. I didn't really play Guardians that much. I played some of the multiplayer. I remember they had like the different class abilities with the shield and the what was it? The grapple thing.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of multiplayer for that. I didn't really get into the campaign.
The grapple thing?
Yeah. On the new one, Halo Infinite, yeah.
Yeah, that's on Halo Infinite. 5 was before Halo Infinite.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember the... So I know they had different abilities where you could pick up the... what was the power up, and you have that ability, like the one where you stand in place and you're shielded, but you can't move, and other different ones. I didn't really play it a whole lot.
I don't remember too much of the power ups, but I do remember. I do remember some of it, like the shield and all that shit. But I do remember the one thing I did enjoy about Halo 5 was the assassinations. I think they did a better job when it came to assassination.
Oh, you didn't just run up to him and smack him?
Yeah, it was like, it was pretty creative how different ways you could kill someone. But I was kind of disappointed when they took that out in Infinity for whatever reason.
Did they?
Yeah, you can't assassinate in Infinity.
Oh, man. So you can't just sneak up behind somebody and just bop them right quick anymore?
You would bop them, but it wouldn't be no animation.
Oh man.
Yeah, they took that out. Okay.
Infinite seems a little bit watered down. I don't feel like the weapons hit like they used to.
I think they made it realistic to like Call of Duty standards. It no longer feel like a fantasy world to me.
Yeah. I mean, I was excited whenever I found out they were bringing it back, and then I played like multiplayer for it. At first, it was all right, and you know, then you had people complaining about this and that, and they changed stuff. And I played it a few weeks ago, and it just doesn't feel the same.
Oh, like it doesn't feel like a Halo game?
Nah, it doesn't feel like a Halo game at all. I mean,
what would you compare it to, like Destiny or?
No, it don't even feel like Destiny.
Damn.
I've never played a game quite like Destiny, actually, man. You know what the gunplay is and how good the weapons thing
is,
feel.
Destiny is, correct me if I'm wrong, but ain't it inspired by Halo or something like that?
I mean, they're made by the same people. It's definitely the same universe. Right.
And
yeah, Bungie
in the same
makes,
universe.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Gotta
be.
There's I'm even mad confused how Infinite came out, man.
I'm not even sure if Bungie was behind Infinite, if they had a whole lot to do with making Infinite.
That's a good point.
There's a different studio name on
343, I believe.
343 is a part of Bungie. If I'm not mistaken, you know, Guilty Spark, 343. But yeah, I don't feel like Bungie touched that a whole lot. It just doesn't feel like a Halo, you know, not the Halo I remember anyway.
When it came to the story, I think 1 to 3 did it the best. While 4, I think it had the best like casual play when it came to the gameplay. I say 5 had the best assassinations, and some of the armors was pretty cool looking. I just didn't like the payroll behind that.
Oh yeah, they still got that going on with the new one. I mean, they got some nice looking armor sets on there. And back whenever I was playing, like the pinnacle of armor sets was the Hayabusa armor. Everybody wanted that. Mm-hmm. Which is based off the Ninja Gaiden armor.
Mm-hmm.
It was, not sure if you remember it or not, but it was really nice. And that was actually, you know, a show of skill. If you had that armor set, you had to meet specific requirements and, you know, actually earn it. So if you had that armor, it was like a badge of honor.
But how do you think nowadays, do you think the games that's coming out now, do they challenge players how they?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, there's some games out there ridiculously, hard. I mean, even Destiny at some points is pretty hard to do if you don't have a knowledge of how the game works or how to set up your mods or, you know, your builds. You have to have specific builds for different things, you know, for your super abilities, your, you know, synergy with your weapons. There's a lot. It's really in depth as far as that goes. You really got to think about how you're setting your stuff up, or you're just setting yourself up to fail.
Mm-hmm. And bring the conversation back to the previous question. I was asking, you know, 3 stories that would be fit on the big screen. First, we talked about your first pick was Halo. And the second thing I want to ask about that, how you feel about Master Chief showing his face?
I mean, that's not that big a deal to me. A lot of people have an issue with it. But, I mean, there's always been a man under the armor. So,
true.
I mean, it's nice to see. I mean, I wish they had more, you know, scenes with battle with him in the armor and all. But, you know, the ones that they do have, they're pretty damn good, man. They're awesome.
Okay.
I mean, you believe that he's actually Master Chief. He's doing the damn thing, man.
My two cents on that, especially when you were saying like sticking close to the like the franchise. I think the main reason why we never got to see Master Chief face because like the image that he hold, and it was kind of like that lore behind it. Like, you know, anybody, not anybody could be a Master Chief, but like, you know, like the armor kind of speak up for itself. You just know when one of them motherfuckers pop up, shit is about to go down.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily got a problem with it as long as it fit into the writing. Like, you know, Master Chief was in an intense battle and then he fighting someone and they knock his helmet off and then he give him that look in the badass scene. All right, that worked. That worked. I don't know. I think, go ahead. What you thought?
Mostly now it's, they're having him take his helmet off and off as far as like the storytelling element. You know, they're getting into his backstory and all, how he became Master Chief, the Spartan program, and all that. I mean, it works for that.
Oh, so they're going to talk about drugging kids on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, okay. So that was your first pick. Who's your other two?
I mean, if they did it right, I mean, Destiny could probably work. I mean, if you can make Halo into a TV series and all that, make it work, you could definitely do it with Destiny. I mean, they take their helmets off all the time on there, so that ain't a big thing, but. Yeah, even if like they did like a CG animated movie, that would work. No, it wouldn't have to be like big budget live action or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it could work as a movie?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If anything could work as a show, it could work as a movie if you as long as you set it up right. I mean, as far as video games being adapted into movies, they haven't exactly had like the best track record.
To be fair, 80s and 90s, they ain't have the best equipment when it came to live action. Animation was on a different level. But nowadays, I would say we have the equipment. I think it's really up to the writers and the director first, and then the actor.
Oh, it's definitely up to the writers. Because if they're writing, you know, shitty dialogue or terrible story, or there's all kind of plot holes in their scripts, and it's just going to make people mad.
There's only so much you can do.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know if you ever seen the original Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, I keep forgetting that guy named the Hispanic guy.
That was John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Spawn as a clown, and he's been in a bunch of different stuff. But.
You know what? That make fucking sense. He was a fucking clown in Spawn?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And that's also one of my favorites. Like, the, you know, the animated show is badass.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, not so much. I mean, it was still cool. I liked it, you know, back in the day when I was younger.
I'm glad that you said that. Because if we were ever get a Spawn game, I think it had to be on something like God of War.
Oh, they actually had a Spawn game, but it was trash.
All right. For movies, I could give you an excuse. Because you only got, like, a time limit to fit wherever, you know, in that time frame. A TV show, a little bit less because, you know, you're planning it out. But a video game, all you gotta do is be creative. How do you fuck up a Spawn game?
I think it was mostly in the like the controls, they were, you know, really touch and go. Your interaction with the environment, you get stuck on things that weren't there, you know. I've watched videos and stuff about it, though. I watch a lot of YouTube content with, you know, people playing older games, or, you know, top 10 lists of, you know, worst games ever made, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And from your opinion, from what you saw, do you think it was like a cash grab, or was there some gems within the game?
Oh, that game definitely had to be a cash grab.
Cause, damn.
Because how terrible it was, man. Like hit detection, and it was just horrible from what I saw. And the way they talked about it, it was basically just garbage.
Okay.
Which, I mean, they've done that with a lot of games. What's up?
You were saying you picked Destiny for your second pick?
Yeah. As far as my third, I really have no idea, man. Maybe Dead Space. I think that would be a fun movie.
Dead Space.
You got a guy trapped alone on a ship. He's an engineer. All he has is, you know, tools from his trade.
Oh man,
mutated zombies.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy. That would go hard. I would pay for that. Even with Evil Within, I think that would be another good one.
Oh yeah, I gave up on that game after a while, man. There's no reason for that game to be that hard.
Oh yeah. Okay.
No, when I got to the part where dude was completely invisible, I had like 6 rounds for the pistol, and I put every single one of them into him. He was still coming at me, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. After like the 8th or 9th, you know, respawn on that, I'm good. I don't need to see anymore.
And I'm curious, as a streamer, how would you describe your content? How would you describe yourself as a streamer?
I mean, I like to have fun. I like to laugh. I like to joke. I mean, at the time, I didn't really have a whole lot of viewers. I was just starting out, and then, you know, I moved, and so I didn't really stream anymore after that. You know, I was busy with, you know, getting stuff set up, work, all that. So, but yeah, I mean, whenever I did do it, I had fun. I enjoyed doing it. You know, I'd set aside some time every day to do so, and I just get on there and do my thing, have fun with it.
That's good to hear.
You know, mostly like being a pirate, you know, Sea of Thieves, which. I stopped playing that game after a while too, because it was more like Sea of Dicks, man. You sail around and you got people, you know, griefing you the whole time. You don't even have anything as far as loot or treasure goes, and you know, people still trying to sink your ship and take what little bit of stuff you do. I got some bananas in a crate, motherfucker. What you doing? Why are you hassling me?
Oh,
I just left the port, man. Just spawned in.
Okay. And when you was streaming, how long you were streaming for?
Typically like 4 to 6 hours a night. Pretty much every night, you know, at least 4 or 5 hours. I mean, if I'd have had like more followers and more people watching, I probably would have done it for, you know, 7, 8 hours, you know, or more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got friends that stream and do stuff like that, and they play for 8, 9, sometimes, you know, 12, 15 hours at a time. I mean, it really just depends on the person, how much fun you're having, because when you're having fun, you don't really realize how much time has passed.
That is true. I think that's something game directors need to hear. If you're having fun, we can't tell how much time we're spending on your game.
Right.
Okay. Let me see. And I'm guessing you were streaming on Twitch.
Yeah. At the time, I was on Mixer because it was already built into the Xbox. Yeah.
Oh shit! All right. So I never got a chance to use Mixer. Oh shit! And you on Xbox?
Yeah.
Oh, fellow brother, I'm on Xbox as well.
What's up?
So I never got a chance to use Mixer. However, I was using the Xbox around the time when we used to have the split screen. Remember that?
Split screen.
Yeah, you used to have your screen split into like a game. It would play like one half of the screen would play the game and the other half would play TV.
Oh no, I've never done that.
There used to be a feature around the time with the Mixer, but they took it off for some reason.
There's no telling, man. They give you stuff, you start to like it, use it, and then they just take it away. Just like Mixer. I liked using it because, it was already built in to the Xbox. You didn't have to have any capture cards or anything like that. You just hit a button, you're good to go.
Shit. Even now, I'm not sure for everybody else, but even when I be streaming on directly on my Xbox, my stream will cut off. I'm like, what the fuck?
I had that problem a few times, but I think that was mostly from OBS or Streamlabs. Issue with their servers, because my actual stream from the Xbox, it never dropped, but on the apps or Streamlabs, stuff like that, it would drop out sometimes. I'd have to restart it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got Twitch built into the Xbox, so I mean, that works out too. As well as Discord, you can talk and stream through Discord too.
And tell me more about Mixer. What's some of the features that you did enjoy on it?
I mean, really just like the ease of use. And, like I said, you just hit a button, you're already on streaming, good to go. If you wanted to add overlays and stuff like that, you had to use, Streamlabs or something like that, but that wasn't really a hassle. There was different plugins that you could use to play music and all. It wasn't really any like copyright things or nothing like that you had to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean, it was easy to use. That was my main thing with it. I didn't have to have any extra equipment other than my laptop, which I already had. So
And when you think about, you said you was thinking about coming back to streaming, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've considered it a few times.
As far as like the stream, do you have a plan how you want to go about it? What's going to change now?
Probably still be similar, except for now I have, other people that I play with. I got friends that stream, and sometimes I jump on and play like custom matches or do raids or dungeons and stuff like that with them. And I talk on their stream through Discord and all. They have the chat set up on there where you could pull in friends and players and talk with them, and it'll be broadcast. But yeah, I just have few more connections, a few more people to play with now. So I think it'd be a little bit easier for me to get more followers and, have a better time doing it.
I would say my 2 cent advice, having more people on your team is a plus way to go. Especially use the opportunity to always shout out each other, collaborate on whatever y'all doing, co-stream. Twitch just added back co-streaming, so you can stream with multiple people at once.
Oh, that's what's up.
So, you know, treat it as like a constant collaboration amongst you and your crew.
Most definitely.
Even if this is just like, you know, I'm not even saying like a record, like somebody as an example, like A&P, you know, they all started off with guys just being cool with each other and people enjoy their energy. So once y'all start working together, just notice what people picking up, what they liking from whatever y'all bring to the table, and then spam that shit. If they like seeing y'all play together, laugh together, give us more of that.
Definitely. Definitely makes sense. It's a good model.
I mean, go ahead. What are you about to say?
I say we always have a good time, especially when we do custom matches. You know, it's always just for fun. We're not, you know, competing or trying to see who's better or whatnot. You know, sometimes there's a 1v1, but it's always just for fun.
Hey, I'm all for it. Casual, bring back casual players. I'm all for it.
It's always maybe, a good time.
Maybe I can use y'all stream or gameplay amongst my kids, for example. Like, have fun with it. Don't break your console because you lost a game. Okay?
Right. I mean, the more upset you get, the worse you're going to play. So I always try to, you know, keep a level head, like, even when I'm losing or we're down or whatever. You don't let your emotions get in the way, because that's just going to affect your gameplay, you know, 100%. The more frustrated and aggravated you get, you know, worse you're going to play, because you're trying to, or you're thinking too much.
I mean, shit, that sounds like a good enough content right there. Show us how to have fun again.
I was telling people all the time, especially my girl, man. I played Destiny with her. She's okay. She's not terrible. She also, like, lets it get to her. Like, she started getting upset. And then she starts playing worse. I'm like, bro, you got to quit. I'm like, man, I'm getting killed too, but I'm not, like, you know, letting it get to me like you are. You got to chill out.
But sometimes people play better when they in that mindset, especially like people that play fighting games.
Right.
Shit, you might need to tell them to pick up Mortal Kombat or something. Like, let your stress out.
I used to like playing fighting games, man, like back on like Sega, stuff like that. But I mean, now I play a fighting game with like one of the kids. Yeah, I mean, I played like virtual in the arcade, like at the skating rink and stuff on the weekends. I'd go there and they had like Virtual Fighter and was it Tekken and stuff like that on the arcade cabinets. And, you know, that was fun. That was, you know, fair. Now, like, I played, I think it was Mortal Kombat with one of the kids, and they're just over there spamming buttons and they won. I'm like, what the hell, man? What is this? I'm over here actually hitting like combos and know what I'm doing, and you just picked it up 5 minutes ago, just smacking the shit out of every button on the controller. Whoop my ass.
Fuck your skills. Yeah. Okay. I will say a lot of games is becoming so-called casual focus, so they would make it easier to do certain things and spam certain things. Especially when it comes into like fighting games.
Oh yeah, I mean, I refuse to even play a fighting game with a man.
So just how you describe your wife getting mad in Destiny, would you say that's the same for you in fighting games?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I get frustrated, but you know, I gotta laugh about it at the same time.
No, I'm not saying that's the reason why you don't play fighting games now.
Oh yeah, definitely. All you gotta do is, you know, spam buttons, bro.
Oh man, that's funny. That's funny. Okay, so we was talking about a little bit of mechanics earlier. What game mechanic or future? Well, we talk about the future part, but game mechanic. Do you appreciate the most in video games?
I mean, honestly, I just like, you know, games with good gunplay, man. If gunplay feels good, you know, if you're shooting a weapon and it feels like it's powerful, or it's powerful enough to where you don't feel like you're just, you know, shooting like BBs at them or something, you know, that's good for me. I like a game that, you know, pays attention to like details like that.
Okay.
Not like, you know, oh, here's this gun and all guns do the same amount of damage. They don't take any skill to use, you know, just point and click. Nah, I don't like that.
Okay. And will you say that's what lost your interest in Halo and Infinity?
Yeah, mainly.
Was they lacking in that department?
Definitely. It doesn't feel like it used to. You know, battle rifles, that was my thing. I used to get on there and dominate with a battle rifle. Now I get on there with a battle rifle and it just feels weak. Like, it's not like it was. Which they had a crossover. They brought a few weapons from Halo into Destiny. They have the battle rifle from Halo and Destiny, and it feels like the actual battle rifle, like it should. Looks the same, feels the same, scopes the same, everything.
I also noticed in your gameplay the damage, especially the fucking grenade launch. I was like, fuck. Yeah, can't let you catch me lacking with that shit.
I catch people lacking all the time with it, man. It's my favorite thing to do.
And how many bullets do it hold?
It's one shot at a time. You start out with two. And yesterday they changed the ammo economy completely. You used to, you know, every time you respawn, you get two more shots. Or whenever you kill somebody, they'll drop an ammo brick and you get another shot from that. Now they changed it to where you have to get kills, play the objective, and other things like that to get ammo. It's on like a point-based system. You get a certain amount of points for getting a kill or whatever, and you get up to 100 points, I think, and you get another ammo, like personal ammo brick, go straight into your inventory. I mean, it's good and bad at the same time. It's let's see what I'm trying to say. I think it's good because you don't lose your ammo when you die now. But at the same time, it's bad because if you're having a bad game, then you're not going to get any more ammo for the weapon you're trying to use. Or you're going to get significantly less ammo.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a single shot breech load, you know. One and done, pretty much, but.
Okay. And that's about all the question I have for you for today. But if you ever want to promote yourself or anybody else, you're welcome to come back and we do this all over again. But before you go, Do you want to shout out all your platforms, and do you want to shout anybody out?
I mean, like I said, mostly just the TikTok. Cheeky Feet is TikTok.com. People I play with, Lazy Panda 7, Prague Goddess, Ill Physics. He's also like a pretty noteworthy name in the Destiny community. I run labs with him, which basically a bunch of people at different skill levels get together. We play specialized custom matches where weapons are restricted, armor mods and everything is really watered down to where you get to like actual skill based play. So yeah, definitely shout out to Ill Physics.
Shout out to
him. He's helped me out a lot with you know, building up my skill and everything related to the PvP aspect.
That's what's up. And your Twitch is the same as your name, Cheeky Fetus.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it was good to have you. Definitely enjoy you having you there as a special guest.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I had a good time.
No problem. I did as well. And I look forward to if you ever decide to get back into streaming or whatever, I look forward to that. And you're welcome to promote yourself here again.
I'll definitely be sure to let you know, man.
All right. Have a good one. This episode will be out within 2 to 3 weeks.
All right. Cool.
All right. Have a good day.
All right, man. You too, bro.
All right.
Underground Warriors, as we draw the curtains on this episode, remember, you are the architect of a new dawn, the trailblazers of the uncharted territories. Let your defiance be the melody that orchestrates change, your creativity the brushstroke that paints a vibrant revolution. This isn't just a podcast, it's a sanctuary for the audacious, the unyielding, the visionary of tomorrow. So embrace your uniqueness, break free from the chains of normalcy, and unleash a symphony of innovation that resonates through the underground. Until next time, keep pushing boundaries, keep igniting minds, and let the world bear witness to the unstoppable force of your surgent spirit.